you.
Turn away from sin.
I'm sorry, you said turn away from sin? Okay. Ghost, your hand was up.
As Ben says, not only turn away from sin, but acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I'm sorry, you're what?
Not only, as Ben said, not only turn away from sin, but after you remove your sins, accept Jesus as Lord.
He can't hear you, guys. Speak louder, babe.
What was the last thing he said?
You have to accept the Lord.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Sister Patricia?
I think you have to be sorry.
Yeah.
Have to be sorry. Okay. All right. Sonia?
Have remorse and, like, not just to try to, sin again. Like, do that action. Like, try, like, to avoid it again.
Good job. Yeah. So having a mindset of not whatever that is, of doing that again. Is that good? Okay. Well, I got a handout if you ladies would supply this on your door. Let me pass these out real quick. And those answers are great. Those answers are great. But there's a biblical definition also as it relates to repentance. And when you get your paperwork, you'll see that everything that was said is encompassed in that.
You hear that.
All right, everyone have a sheet. On the first side, on the first sheet, it says, "What is repentance?" And Sandy, could you read that for us? And Camille, could you get prepared to go to Luke chapter 3, verse 8 through 14?
Many understand the term repentance to mean a turning from sin. Regretting sin and turning from it is related to repentance, but it is not the precise meaning of the word. In the Bible, the word repent means to change one's mind. The Bible also tells us that true repentance will result in a change of actions. Luke 3, 8 through 14 and Acts 3 verse 19. In summarizing his ministry, Paul declares, "I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." Acts 26 and 20. The full biblical definition of repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action.
All right, great. And we can see that. We'll see that when we get to Luke chapter 3, verse 8 through 14. It's a change of mind, you see, and everything that was said is true. It's a part of that, but you see, there's some folks who don't even know what sin means, what sin really is from a biblical standpoint, and yet we're told to repent. They're yet told to repent. It has to become a change of mind. Changing our mind to see things as God sees things, accept who Jesus is, you know, and we'll see that when we read these passages here. It says, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." All right. "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Excuse me. So the people asked him, saying, "Well, what shall we do? You know, this thing is getting tight. You know, the word is out, but so what should we do?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." At this point, he's not saying turn from your sin. See, God has a plan and a purpose and a way for folks to live. Stay with me here for a minute. Let's go to the next word. Then the tax collector. Can somebody tell me about tax collectors in Jesus' day?
Oh, I was about to say they're horrible.
Okay, they're horrible. What made them horrible?
They cheated the people out of people. They took more than what they were supposed to.
And who were they working for?
The state of California.
Right, them too. So they worked for the Roman government, right? They were despised. They were taking money and even extras from their own people. So they were the tax collectors also came and they said, well, see, something about when you begin to hear the word of God, you begin to ask questions. If the word of God hits someone and they begin to feel convicted, you begin to ask the question, what do I need to do? So then the tax collectors also came, those who were despised, those who were hated by their own people, came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher Jesus, what shall we do? You know, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. In short, you need to have a change of mind. What you've been doing has been wrong. And you need to turn from what you've been doing. Verse 14. Likewise, the soldiers. Now, get this. This is in under Roman occupation. You know, Jerusalem is on lockdown. God's people are under Roman rule. Likewise, but here is this guy. I'm perceiving this just very well could be Roman soldiers. So likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what should we do?" You know, here Jesus is preaching and letting the folks know what's going on. And so he said to them, do not intimidate anyone. Huh?
That's it, all right.
Yeah. Or accuse anyone falsely. You're in charge. You're the soldier. You got rule over here, but don't intimidate anybody. It's talking about it's time for a change of mind. A change of direction. Like I believe as Sonia was alluding to, repentance is a 180-degree turn. I'm going the wrong way. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the right way. So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely and be content with your wages. Camille, be content with your wages.
Yeah. Yeah. All over it.
Verse 15.
You never said 15. But he never said 15. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't?
No. Nope.
Okay, well, that's good right there. Get Acts 3:19, then we'll go move on.
Okay, because I didn't.
Because I want us to see that repentance is a change of mind. You know, we have to see things. We need to see what stinks in God's nostrils ought to stink in ours. What God frowns on, we should frown on. You know. And so when we recognize that maybe something that we're doing is not pleasing to God, we need to have a change of mind. We need to get our mind to turn from that, and that will lead us to saying, Father, forgive me. That will take us to a point to where, you know, my mind, I want to do what's right, Lord, in your sight, because I know that you're right, your way is right, your word is right, and there's no penalty in doing what's right in the sight of God. So here, the word goes forth, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So repent therefore and be converted. Have a change of mind that your sins may be blotted out. See, when we recognize that we're going the wrong way, we find ourselves in a place where God can use us. That's what repentance is about. So we need to repent of our sins. We need to have a change of mind. We need to ask Christ to come into our life. And that's where salvation comes from. When you hear folks running around and talking about, I'm born again, what does that mean? That means that I've turned from my ways. And I've turned and I have a mindset and a determination to live for God. And I've asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. God, I'm sorry for all the wrong I've done, you know. And guess what? Something happens. It's not like joining the Elks Lodge or the Moose Club or the Mongols or whatever. It's a relationship with the Lord of the universe. That's what it's all about. And so when we look at repentance, it's a change of mind. And so oftentimes, and another thing, we don't repent to each other. We repent to God. We're going to see here in these next verses that we that we forgive each other. There's reconciliation that happens between us and not just believers, but people in general. You know, and all everything. So when we look at that, repentance is a very important thing in the life of a believer. Because a believer can get wrong. Somebody who's called by the name of Jesus, who loves the Lord with all their heart, can get wrong and doing something wrong. And that believer need to repent and have a change of mind and say, God, I acknowledge my sin. I've been going the wrong way. God, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to do it your way.
That's right.
That's what repentance is all about. And so let's do this. Let's get into some forgiveness now. I had the pleasure of talking to a young lady today, and she's kind of an official in a church. Matter of fact, she's a pastor's wife. And I just say, well, since we're talking, we're speaking in Bible study tonight about forgiveness. I say, how you doing with your forgiveness? She's like, well... I said, have anybody ever done you any wrong? Well, it's this deacon in our church. And he's this, and he's that, and he's that. And I don't like that. And so I speak to him because it's just right to do, but that's it. And I'm like, well, sister, God has given us the antidote. I have another, and I'll pass it out in a little bit, but I have another handout I'm going to pass out tonight once we get through this passage, because this is going to be an intriguing passage for us to look at tonight. But this next handout is going to show how unforgiveness affects our natural body.
Yep.
How anger and hatred, all of this type of have an effect on our bodies. So let's look at our passage tonight. What I'd like to do is I'd like for us to popcorn around the room and let's get to the lesson. It's Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Everyone have your hand out?
Sit down.
So I would like to ask if we get, but we have to, here's what the key is in reading this tonight. When you read your two verses, grab what you're reading, and everybody around us, we're going to listen as well, because this story, we want to go back and talk about what we see in this narrative between Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So, I'm going to start out with verse 21 and 22. Then somebody else pick up with 23 and 24. We're not calling any names, but just fall right in. Let's keep the flow going.
You said Matthew 25, Dad?
Matthew 18, 21 through 35.
So not Matthew 4.
No. I'm sorry. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. This is the message.
Okay.
Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
So once I finish, somebody else gonna jump right in and read the next two verses? Okay. Then Peter came to him, to Jesus that is, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. All right.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him, owed him 10,000 talents.
Mm-hmm.
But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, take his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made.
Mm-hmm.
The servant therefore fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.
All right.
Then the master of the servants was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid his hand on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me now what you owe.
So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all.
Mm.
And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt.
So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done.
So that two, did you read one or two verses? Well, again.
One. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me."
Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Is this a deep passage or what?
Yes,
it is. Let's talk about this one. Can we just unwrap this for a moment and talk about what we see, maybe starting back here at the beginning? What was Peter, what do you think was in Peter's mind when he asked the question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother that sins against me? He said, well, up to seven times? You know, what do you think that was about?
Looking for a way out, like a limitation, like, mm-hmm. You just tell me how much I got to do this so I can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he thought he was patting himself on the back. You know, I forgave him seven times, and that's good, right?
Right. You know, if the truth be told, a lot of us have limits, too. I might let you go once. I might even let you go twice. But three times, you're out. Anybody ever been there? I'm not taking the poll, don't raise your hand. I'm just saying, you know. So the man, he felt as though he was doing what he was saying, you know. Like, hey, God, you know, Jesus, I mean, you know, hey, I'll forgive seven times. But what was Jesus' reply? What did he say?
Seven times.
So let me ask you this. So did Jesus mean that we should multiply 7 times 7 and come up with 490. So then on 491, you don't have to forgive. Is that what Jesus was saying?
No.
Well, what was he saying?
As often.
As often what?
As you're offended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to ask anybody, I don't care where you're at, what circles you're at, who would, when it comes to forgiveness or mercy, well, let's just say mercy. If you was to ask everybody in this room if you would rather have mercy or justice, what would you choose?
Mercy.
Come on, y'all, talk to me now.
Mercy.
You sure? Okay. So if all of us have a need for mercy, we all have a need for forgiveness. Is that right? Let me ask you this, because, you know, I did ask that question about, you know, have any of us ever been hurt, done wrong, misused, abused, talked about, stabbed in the back, you know, all those kind of things. But have we ever wronged anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever hurt anyone with things we've said?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a falsehood out there that says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. That is not true. That's a lie. The words can cut to the quick.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important in any relationship, whether it's friends or marriage relationship. Words can be put out there, and those words can hurt deeply. Because you had your hand up.
Yeah. Like I said, this is...
Stand up, Augusta. Stand up so he can hear you. Yeah.
Like I said, like you said, that's society thinks that words don't hurt. The fact of the matter is they do hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use them right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that we can't talk and speak, but what I'm saying is use your words carefully. Speak carefully, or else you'll hurt somebody.
Right, right. Yeah, we have to be careful. So whenever we have a question, whenever mankind have a question, God has an answer. We need to remember that. So, you know, sometimes we can be in a place where we just don't know what to do. That's okay, because God knows just what to do. And that's when we need to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's the things that come, and we're going to see in this lesson, because I want to see how this lesson is going to resonate and hit home with us. Because I believe we all dealing with some issues in life as it relates to forgiveness, whether we need to be forgiven or we need to forgive someone else. And so here, let me read this. I'm gonna just hit a couple of verses to keep us going in the New Living Translation. So Jesus, he said, therefore, in verse 23, Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. All right, we see the picture here. He's clearing the books. Here's folks who owe debts. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, okay? In the King James vernacular, when we were reading, it says and when he had begun to set his account, he brought him a man with 10,000 talents. So in the King James vernacular, 10,000 talents. But in our vernacular, over $1 million. Can you imagine owing a million? Can you imagine owing 500,000?
Nope.
10,000, you know, and that's a debt. Okay, so he couldn't pay. So his master ordered him to be sold. Here's the verdict: You owe me. I want my money. And so he said he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold into slavery, along with his wife and children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Wow. Can you imagine a verdict coming down like that? But what happened? Verse 26, but the man, here it is, the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Have you ever heard anybody ever told you that? Don't worry, I'm going to make it right with you. You know, my father, he used to do stuff like that all the time. Yeah, come on, help me work. I'll take care of you. I say, Dad, you need to tell somebody how much you want to pay them. Because after it's all over, they're going to be mad at you. But anyway, that's another story. So then his master was filled with pity for him. And he released him and forgave him his debt. What made this man release him?
But it was a debt the man could not
pay. He couldn't pay it. Right?
You know, which is like us.
Mm-hmm.
We owe a debt we could not pay.
Right. So what made this man release the debt? Release him the debt?
Pity.
Yeah, pity.
Pity on him. He didn't want to separate the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Because the man, he begged, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, we live in a time sometimes where somebody can beg a person for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Can do whatever they can to try to make this thing right and still get a snub. Have you ever heard somebody say, I forgive, but I don't forget? Is that true forgiveness? Because if the truth be told, it's a play on words, because if the truth be told, we never forget anything that happens in our life, mostly. You know, if someone breaks a leg or whatever, whatever it may be, we remember that. But when a person say, I forgive, but I don't forget, that means they haven't released that thing. They still got you in their sights. And I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to feed you with a long-handled spoon. You know, that's not how God wants us. And we'll see why it's so important for us to forgive. So the man had mercy on him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that how you think the guy felt? Brother, how you think the guy felt who was released of that $1 million debt, over $1 million debt? Yeah, that's you.
He meant to say Casey.
Yeah. You knew who I was talking to.
What was the question?
If you were forgiven, if somebody dropped $1 million debt that you owe and said, hey man, you're free, you don't have to pay it, how would you feel?
Feel forever in his debt.
I'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very grateful, very thankful. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him just a few $1,000s. Now mind you, he owed $1 million, over $1 million, and he was forgiven. He leave the courtroom free, exonerated, don't have to pay anything. And he finds somebody that owed him just a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Selena, what do you think about that? What kind of heart was that for this person to do that? No heart, huh? You know. But what about you, brother? What would you say?
It's a little contradicting. It's a little contradicting because he was forgiven for his debt, and the fact that he's not forgiven some, or I mean, not forgiving this person for the debt that he owes himself, mm-hmm. you know. Or,
yeah.
So it's you know, kind of contradicting for himself.
Yeah.
He was forgiven. He was forgiven.
And then he didn't want to share that. You know, he turns around and do that. Grab the man by the throat.
Yeah.
Even the other guy, at least he said, I was sending him to slavery, but he didn't grab him by the throat. Now, you get out and going out and got mad and grabbed a man by the throat. Wow. His fellow servant fell down before him. This guy begged him. Earlier, he was begging the king. Forgive me, I can't pay this. So his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. He just said, I'll pay, just give me a little more time. He said, be patient with me, I will pay it. He pleaded, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were like, wow. Whoa. You know, Maya Angelou said something years ago. There's a good quote. They say, when people show you who they really are, believe them. You know? So they saw that this man, he's got some issues. This is, somebody ever done something so bad, you say, like, wow. Man, how could they? We see it all the time. It said, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. They went and ratted him out. King, you will not believe this. You know that guy who you just gave a break to? He's out there choking one of our buddies. And he's demanding the money. And the king called in the man who he had forgiven and said, you evil servant. I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. That's why the man forgave him of the debt, because he pleaded with him. King had a heart to say, well, I can't stand to see this man beg. I'm gonna let it go. You know, how quick are we to release people today? You know, how? Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Didn't wait for an answer from the man, because judgment is passed. He said, then the angry king sent this man to prison, now to be tortured, until he had paid entire debt. That means life on the right path. Life with what they call it, hard labor, because of his heart. So what's the moral of the story? This parable is referring to the teaching that Jesus was giving. So how does this apply to you and I today? The last verse says, that's what my heavenly Father, let me put it this way, that is what our heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Is that heavy? Is that deep or what? But do we as people, as saints of God, as people, do we struggle sometimes to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there. If you look at this first slide that was passed out to you, it says, what is forgiveness? About a fourth of the way down the page. And so what I want to do is just kind of jump down because we don't want to belabor the time. But if you look in the area where it says, what is forgiveness of others? Do you all see that? What is forgiveness of others? It says forgiveness is also an essential part of the life of believers. Do we believe that today?
Yeah.
And yet we still struggle sometimes of letting it go. Ephesians 4:32 commands, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Here's the punchline. Well, I ask you, what's the punchline? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. How should that passage affect us as believers? Would it come to us forgiving someone? And it's hard to do sometimes, like Chrissy said. But in that instance, in that time, in that moment, do we ever think about how God forgave us? Have anybody here been forgiven?
Amen.
I mean, you know you've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you remember where you used to be. Who you were before you came to Christ. And we know that no one comes to the Father unless he draws him. And so the Lord drew us to him by his grace and by his mercy and with his great love. And he gave his only begotten son, in St. John 3:16, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we think about this when there is a need for us to forgive? I would imagine that some of us are struggling now because we've been hurt. Have anybody, I mean, been really, really hurt? You know, and no one is looking to be hurt. You know, it goes on to say, simply Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The key in both passages is that we are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Why do we forgive? Because we have been forgiven. The Bible tells us that we are to forgive those who sin against us. We keep no record of wrongs, but forgive as many times as necessary. There is another point here that I really wanted to bring out. Oh, here it is here. We got what is forgiveness, and the next paragraph down. It says, to some people, forgiveness may seem like weakness. Maybe that's a point for us to talk about. Because, you know, what is it that makes it so hard for us to forgive? Listen to this and let's talk about this. Let's unpackage this. To some people, forgiveness may seem like weakness or letting an undeserving person win. This is not a game. It says, but it has no connection to weakness or even to emotions. Instead, forgiveness is an act of the will. Remember, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. No one deserves to be forgiven. Forgiveness is a deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision to not hold something against another person despite what he or she has done to you. Can I get an amen? Or is this a hard pill to swallow? God will never give us to do something that he doesn't empower us to do. Brother Chuck.
I know, and obviously, I think by the silence,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of testimony that this hard to do.
Yeah.
I know because I just had someone probably about 4 or 5 months ago. They borrowed a pretty large sum of money from me,
mm-hmm.
and promised that they would pay me back. Mm-hmm. And then I said, eh, I was not telling you the truth. I said, whoa. So
they said it to your face?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they weren't telling the truth when they said they were going to be paid.
So Trump was going to be lacking in lunch.
And I think more than anything, it hurt. Because I've known this person for a long time. And just, I felt like I was taking advantage of
him. Mm. How does it feel to feel as though you've been taking advantage
of him? It does not feel good. Because I got a lot of crying, you know, all along the way, please, 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 all this kind of stuff. And afterwards, it's like, oh, man.
Mm.
But a couple of things I learned, and I think for me, because of my financial history and, you know, car thing and all that, yeah, it still hurt, but I said, okay, God, you had a lesson for me in this.
Yes.
Of, I mean, the money's gone, and I don't have a problem with that now. Obviously, I would rather that not have had happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing it's only money, you know. Now I'm not giving out any loans tonight.
I'm like, well, you so generous, well, on another thing.
But it hurt more than anything. It hurt that this person I've known a long time, and they just flat out took advantage. But thankfully, I've been able to let it go. It hurt. It just hurt.
See, that brings up a question on that sheet, the second question under forgiveness. And I think this is a good segue into this question. Can there be forgiveness without reconciliation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said yes. Explain why you say that.
Well, you forgive, but the person never made amends. I mean, Chuck has forgiven the person, but the person hasn't made any attempt to make amends where, you know, where reconciliation would be in effect. For me, personally, regarding forgiveness being hard, sometimes you're afraid that the person's going to do it again, you know, going to do you again. And that makes it hard, but like the lesson says, it's not because the person deserves it, but what makes me forgive is knowing that if I don't forgive, I'm not going to be forgiven by God.
Mm-hmm. See, you know, we have to understand, well, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Because, and I think there's another term we can use also in this scenario, it's release. Sometimes we can release a situation, release someone in a situation. Again, because don't even get me started. I've had some things, even in ministry, even as a pastor, where, you know, your heart is saying this, and you see a need, and, you know, and somebody go to completely the other way. You know, but to release that, because if you hold this thing in, if you hold resentment and unforgiveness in your heart, it will stunt our spiritual growth. It will hinder our prayer life. Because we're saying, God, I need you. I stand in need of a blessing from you. Lord, I want to do your will, but yet and still inside, I'm not doing what God told me to do in releasing and forgiving someone.
Yeah, and right along with what you're saying, and the hand up to confess this was later, I've had an experience where I tried to hold on to something against someone, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you need to let that go.
Yeah.
The moment I either call that person and say, I'm sorry, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, and again, now, for me, even different experiences I've had in life, I've learned the sooner you let it go, the better.
Right.
From a physical standpoint.
Yes.
And certainly obedience to God, because when I try to hold on to stuff, there's a physical reaction in my mind, and I have to let it go.
Yeah. And I think there's a spiritual reaction too. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you're in Christ and Christ in you, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And the Holy Spirit said, go right. And you say, I'm going left. Now, and so you end this struggle. Because the Lord has said, forgive, I will carry you through this. And our heart, I said, you don't know God. Because God said, I don't know. I know everything about you.
Come again?
Yeah. I know your thoughts before you even think them. God said, I know the intent of your heart, so I know where you are. And so it's a spiritual thing, because when you really love the Lord, when you're disobedient to him, it hurts. Can I get a witness?
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody ever been there? You know, and we grow in the Lord as well. And I thank God for Christian growth, because I remember when I hadn't been in the Lord too long. This is 30-something years ago, and I'm an electrician. And this pastor, he wanted me to come and help wire his church, because the first guy butchered it. It was in bad shape. So he said, but I have a guy here, and he's learning the trade, so he can help me. Okay. So we make it big now, go in and start working. And I don't know if you know, but you see the plumber's thing where they roll the room and stuff, but electricians have the most skinny one. And we run it through a pipe, and we pull wire through it. Some kind of way, the thing got broke. I didn't even know it was broke. And I got home, it belonged to the other guy. And he called me, and he went on one side of me and down the other. I mean, you broke my thing. You did this. I'm like, huh? What? I didn't know what he was talking about. But here's what convicted me. The way I responded to him was, I didn't curse him, but I showed my anger to him. And I said, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy you another one, and we'll be good. So I called him up. I apologized to him. I said, I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you. I don't feel as though I did what you're saying, but I bought you a brand new snake. And all you got to do is come by the house and get it. He never showed up. But I released that. I had to apologize. See, the Holy Spirit will have you sometime apologizing and somebody else been wrong. Because we're trying to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care what that says to Chrissy?
That's so frustrating.
Let's talk about it. Just talk about that. Let's talk about reconciliation too, what that means, because we hit on it. Go ahead, sister. Why you say what you say?
Just because sometimes people will be ugly to you and then you react, you know, maybe not even as bad as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he still will just be like, oh no, you're going to go back and you're going to say, and you're like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you do it because otherwise he just keeps thumping you in the head and makes you go do it. So.
Yeah, now see, that's the point I'm getting at now. Who's thumping you in the head? Not the one
Lord.
Who. Yeah, thank you. So, and now he's not thumping you in the head because of what so and so did.
No,
but he's
no,
thumping
no,
you in the head because of how you responded.
Yep.
So
we're not accountable for what other folks do.
Right.
We're accountable for
what we do. Right. That does not mean that you're a doormat. I hope you all hear me tonight. This God has not called us to be doormats. He has given us wisdom, and he's given us to call upon his name. He will fight our battles for us. We don't need to hold on to bitterness, to anger, to frustration, to unforgiveness. It's like gas and water. It doesn't mix in the life of a believer. And if you truly love the Lord, you can have no peace as long as you are harboring something on the inside. Anybody ever watched Divorce Court on TV? You know, okay, what y'all here for? Unreconcilable differences. What do that mean? You know, And the reason that comes up is because in a relationship, especially those who are married know this, and those who are thinking about marriage, you need to know this. An issue will come up. Here's how people end up in divorce court. with unreconcilable differences. Here's something, everything is just going good. We love each other. Woo-woo-woo. Whatever. And an issue come up where you strongly disagree. But you don't deal with that situation. You don't reconcile that situation. So you kind of sweep it under the rug and you're going on about your everyday routine again like everything is fine. And what happens in that case is the very next time, the next little issue that comes up, guess what happened? That one is unresolved, it shows up too. And so now you've got two skeletons in the closet, or two lumps under the closet, under the carpet. And after a while, you can't even hardly walk on the rug because there's so much under it. We have to learn how to deal with situations and issues and get to the bottom of it. Because if the truth be told, if we keep it simple and keep it real, we'll be way ahead of the game. What's the reality of what's going on? And what's the simple solution? And what would God have me to do? Reconciliation is coming together in agreement. I've learned something else too about me saying that I'm sorry. Because a lot of us, when we say we're sorry, we want it to be a magic potion. Woo! And all is forgiven. I told you I'm sorry, didn't I? You know, anybody ever been there? No, just
yep.
Me. And you buy it, me saying I'm sorry, it's supposed to make everything okay. But I tell you what helps to make everything okay after a transgression, after we've hurt someone, and we realize that we're at fault. Not only do I say I'm sorry, but I begin to enunciate and enumerate why I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said to you, because I know what I said to you made you feel this way. And it embarrassed you. It hurt you. And for that, I'm sorry. The person that you're apologizing to, that you're asking for forgiveness from, can then understand that you're speaking from your heart. You're recognizing the pain that you've inflicted on someone else. Does that make sense, y'all? I think it's very important. You know, oh, I'm sorry. You still ain't forgive. Well, what you sorry for? You know. See, so I think we need to really keep that in mind.
I'm sorry you were hurt by what I did.
Yeah. And what's one of our favorites, Brother Chucky? Now, y'all already been here. Gary, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Now, listen, don't we know when we've offended somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look, I had to ask my wife for forgiveness today. Okay, I'm getting a little older.
Mm-hmm.
I got a place for my cell phone, a place for my wallet, a place for the keys. So if I get something else that's not mine, it's like, does it still exist? Okay, we were at Sam's Club. She had to go back inside. I was outside loading up the Suburban. But she had, you know, scanned all the items with her cell phone. So you just go out and whoop, whoop, they scan you out. And you'd have to go through cashier. So on her cell phone, I get out to the back of the Suburban, open it up, put all the stuff we bought inside, but her phone, her beautiful phone with a nice pretty girl case on it, and the little thing on the back, I left on the bumper. Because I got my keys, my wallet, yeah. And we take off. We're trying to, you know, get our house repaired. Selena, our house flooded. It's gutted right now. Pray for us. So we go to the tile place and try to pick up some tile. And Sandy said, oh, where's my phone? I'm like, phone? Okay. All of us techie. Okay, let me go find my friends. Her being my friend. Oh. It's on 4th Street in Milliken. Let's head over there. Oh, it's moving. Somebody had picked it up. Okay, now I take her to the Verizon store. We got to do something. In the meanwhile, it's showing me. It's right here, right? Here's a crazy lady that this thing is everywhere she goes, where the phone is going. I said, hey, you see the phone? and she just turned gorilla. Okay, that's not going to work. I guess after a period of time, she threw it in the middle of the street. It got ran over. It looks like I don't know what. I said, babe, I'm sorry. See? That's what I'm talking about. Because if not, I may even have to go home with John tonight. I don't know. But, you know, we need to... You know, it's a little humorous, but be real.
It's not humorous.
Huh?
It's not humorous.
It's not humorous. It is to me.
Don't say that.
See, because I've been forgiven.
Too soon.
Yeah,
too soon. Too soon, bro.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you.
Look.
But no, the Spirit of the Lord told me, at first I really wanted to cry.
Mm.
Because I was like,
your heart's done.
What is this on top of that? Mm. You know? But the Spirit of the Lord said, it's material, it's stuff.
And he's old.
Well, I said, babe, is that it there?
It was in the
middle. Because see, I had approached that homeless lady too. And she was like, What do you want from me? Stop following me.
Because we kept calling the phone, you know, kept pinging it. I guess she's like, what is this thing?
She must throw it in the street. Because it was going all around where she was walking. I'm watching her on the tablet. I'm watching my phone go all these places where she's going.
Crazy.
So right now she's making calls on her watch.
Yeah. So you didn't get your text today?
So I'm going to pass out this. We're going to close out. We're about to set time. There is a probing question on here as well. And I'm not looking for a show of hands, but I think it's something we really need to think about. It says, is there a need for forgiveness in your life? You remember when Jesus was being crucified?
Yes.
I mean, pierced in the side, carrying a little rugged cross, crown of thorns put on his hand, beat to a pulp, and those who he created was crucifying him. But Jesus said in Luke 23 and 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Did they know that they were crucifying Jesus? They knew that. Let me have one of those things. Did they know the full ramifications of what they were doing? Can we get it in our hearts and our minds today to understand that sometimes people that have wronged us, the people that are doing crazy stuff, could it be that they don't really know what they're doing?
Yep.
Because if they knew better, they would do that. And if anything, we should have it in our heart and our mind to pray for that person. Jesus said, pray for those who despise and use you. That's not natural. That's supernatural. See, and we serve a supernatural God who gives us the grace to be able to do what he's called us to do. And if we do what God says to do, we'll see that it works. Watch. So, Chrissy, would you mind reading down through this for us? Nice and loud. Yes.
Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. According to Dr. Stephen Stanford, Chief of Surgery at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatment, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment, Stanford explained. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiven issues, and of those, more than half are severe. According to research by Dr. Barry Moore, or Michael Barry, wow, where'd that come from? A pastor and author of the book, The Forgiveness Project, harboring these negative emotions, this anger and hatred creates a state of chronic anxiety, he said. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which in your body foot soldier in the fight against cancer, he explained. Barry said the first step is learning to forgive is to realize how much we have been forgiven by God. When a person forgives from the heart, which is the gold standard we see in Matthew 18, forgiveness from the heart can find that they are able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often, our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness, he said. Barry said most people don't realize what a burden anger and hatred were until they let them go.
Yeah. See, unforgiveness will lead to hatred. It'll lead to anger because that person has hurt you. Your natural response is to reach out and protect yourself. You know. But if we just hold our peace, God will fight our battles. There's so many scriptures we just don't have time to go through tonight. But we're admonished by the Apostle Paul in I believe it's in 1 Timothy not to render evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good. You know, and there's peace in doing that. Again, and we'll close out. Brother Chuck can come and have last words and dismiss us, but you know, it is not weakness, and we're not doormats, but we need to see a soft answer turns away wrath. We should be swift to hear and slow to speak. We should be peacemakers and not peace breakers, you see. And a lot of times we can prompt opposition just by how we respond to folk, you know. So let's just keep it in mind. Christ has forgiven us so much. Let us do the same thing.
Amen.
God bless you.